morning, everyone. My name is Jason Colucci, and we are broadcasting live from the International Restaurant and Food Service Show here at the Javits Center. Wanted to thank HeritageRadioNetwork.com and my main man, Jack Inslee and Patrick Martins. And I wanted to take the opportunity to thank the crew. These are people I woke up at 5:30 this morning. Matthew Bourgeois, Bennett Jazilek, Mark Trimpor, Aaron Sylvester, Keith Braga, and of course, the producer, Jesse Kiefer, and yours truly, Jason Colucci. You know, it's interesting why we're here today, because if you're here right now and if you're watching online, you can't actually see out there, but if anyone has seen a Coors Light commercial where that train comes running through and people just start having a really good time, that's where like we feel like we're at right now. Like, we're all going to start drinking Coors Light and having fun and laughing. But we'll turn the camera eventually for you people here. So online people, relax. Don't worry. We'll get to you, okay? You have the world at your fingertips. Go to another website. But wait till the show's over. Ron Matthews is a gentleman I contacted about 3 weeks ago. And Ron Matthews is the vice president of Reed Exhibitions. And if everyone knows who Reed Exhibitions are the company that basically organized and put together the show here at the food show. And Amy Reiner, who's part of the team, contacted me along with a couple other people to ask me if I wanted to broadcast here live from the show. Now, I was a little bit up in the air about it because I was a little bit nervous because you never know what to expect in a situation where it's 2 weeks before, but it's been great and I'm really excited. And I just wanted to take a second to thank everyone at Reed Exhibitions for providing the venue here at the International Restaurant and Food Service Show. For doing it. And, you know, keep in mind, go on their website. These guys just don't do the show. They produce a ton of shows here all over the country. You know, I was walking around talking to a bunch of different companies here, and, you know, there's some friends, Mark Tell, John Hansberg, Mario Pagano, a lot of different guys, but a gentleman to my left right now, and do you like your medium shot here? Okay, say hello to the world, okay? I'm kidding, right?
Hello.
Brian Nicholson? How are you? Red Jacket Orchard. Pleasure to see you today. Can I shake your hand?
Yeah,
I know
absolutely.
We're online, but I just wanted to be formal about it. Now, I'm familiar with your product. The one question I had for you is do you guys ever find a point where your product is so popular and so well-sustained that it gets too... You kind of have to, like, push it back a little bit in regards to not having the demand that ratio or... Do you feel ever in that position?
No, I mean, I think we're very fortunate because, you know, we're a grower, and we've been in the business of growing for over 50 years. I'm third generation.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, if you're in the lemon business, you got to make lemonade.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we're in the apple business, and we've always made apple-based products, juice products.
Yeah.
Luckily, New York State is one of the biggest apple regions in the world. So
it's insane. And Bert Wolf, who was a guest on this show weeks and weeks ago, produced a show about just apples in the U.S. and the procurement of them and the heirloom aspect of them. Mm-hmm. And there was one part in them where they were trying to replicate growing apples, and they put one seed in from an apple seed, but the idea is it's just one derivative of a big picture. So when you're planting apple tree and stuff like that, is there a specific kind of seed thing you have to do or something? Does that make sense to you at all or no?
Well actually, yeah. It's a very, okay. I mean, the whole plant breeding, yeah, that goes behind it is actually very complicated. And I mean, when you talk about heirlooms, yeah, I'm fortunate that our orchard is right in Geneva, New York, and Cornell's experiment station is there, and they have one of the oldest repositories of germplasm back to I think it's Kazakhstan that goes back for forever. But the interesting thing is you can't really plant a seed and get the same tree. You have to graft it. You have to graft the bud tissue into the tree to get that apple the same time every time.
The same flavor profile.
The same. If you want a Macintosh apple, the only way to get it is to graft a Macintosh bud into the tree.
You guys have a huge presence at Whole Foods. Do I see you guys there a lot? Or
well, we're in a lot of
you're a lot of places.
A lot of great markets.
As somebody who conveniently was a purchaser at Polino's on the Bowery in Houston and ran out of cider at a certain time, you know, it was very convenient that your product was right next door. But
we do a lot with Whole Foods.
You guys don't mess with it at all. I mean, when I taste it, I feel like you're just macerating the apples and juicing them and. There's nothing in between.
Well, absolutely, and that's part of the secret, you know. And just to your point there of Whole Foods, we're you know, just from an availability standpoint, yeah. we are able to service a lot of the great supermarkets in New York, like Fresh Direct and Fairway and Food Emporium, and a lot of great places. And one of the reasons we can kind of be there all the time is because of actually having a product we can make all year long.
Yeah,
and it's important that I think for consumers who are looking for that local product. You know, we're seasonal, so sometimes you run out of certain things. And if you run out of certain things in a supermarket, it's very hard to get back in. And that's always been the challenge of the local food movement. But being in the juice business as well, that has helped that. But to your point, people say, why does the juice taste so good?
Yeah.
It's probably what we don't do it to it, more than what we do to it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the secret.
The working under a lot of demanding pastry chefs, they're always asking for Mutsu apples. Why are pastry chefs basically demanding from purchasers and sous chefs this particular type of apple? Is it the texture of it, or?
Well, I just think it's a great apple. It's a very moderate flavor, so it's not too sweet, not too tart. I think that gives them a lot of room to work with it.
Okay.
It's a crisp apple. It's green. It's one of the few green East Coast apples, so I think from that local food movement, it gives them that opportunity to have that color break, along with all the beautiful red apples that grow on the East Coast, too.
And how? What are your thoughts here? Tell me something about the show, since you're here. You know, your busy day today is Brian. You know, it's the first day of the show. You kind of like, you realize, oh, crap, I forgot this, I forgot that. Maybe not. But what are your thoughts here at the show? You've been here before. I think I've seen you guys before.
You know, every show has got that initial excitement when you hit the floor and everyone's trucking their stuff in and the door's going to open in 5 minutes. And I can tell you, the door opened with a huge bang.
It was big today, right?
It's like, huge.
We're kind of in the outskirts here of it. We're like in the green zone, if you will, the safety zone of people, kind of. But you guys are, especially that row you're in, it's a
well,
wild
we're, we're lucky to be in the Pride of New York Pavilion, as they call it.
You are.
We're luckily next to a lot of the great wineries in New York State. I think that's a wonderful draw. People, it's Sunday morning. I love the food business. You can sample wine at 10 a.m. Yeah. It's great.
No spitting, please. No spitting. No. I'm just tasting. I'm tasting. No. I'm trying different blends. Well, thank you for doing the show. Would you mind giving a little autograph or a little thing to on the morning after sign here?
Yeah, absolutely. Where do you
you're
need
all
it?
Set. Wherever you want. Thanks again.
Right on here?
Just wherever you want to do it. Brian Nicholson from Red Jacket Orchards. He's the first to tag. Somebody call NewYorkCity.gov. Somebody call the graffiti wing of something. Thanks again,
thank
man.
Thank you for having me.
Please,
great show.
Now, you know, I want to have you guys in studio and talk when you guys get a chance, when you're after the show in the next few
weeks.
Well,
I'll tell you what. We've handed out over almost 1,000 of these today so far, and when we're done handing those out, if I have enough energy, I will definitely be first place to come and see you.
100%. Thanks thank again, you. Man. I appreciate it. Cheers.
Take care.
I'm going to have my good friend John Hansberg. He's about action, not distraction. Everybody knows him. If you watch, this is a great story. If anyone that watches television in prime time, I hope I get those residuals, they might have seen a commercial for BlackBerry. Now, I will vouch for everything on that commercial. There is no embellishment, except for when you were really inspecting that red pepper.
That wasn't red pepper. That was a Buddha's hand.
Oh, Buddha's hand. Oh, it was a Buddha's
hand. It wasn't even red at all.
Okay. Well, it was
no, the cactus pear.
It was a Buddha's hand. What's the season of the Buddha's hand?
Citrus generally runs in the winter time, so it's from the West Coast.
I'm speaking with John Hansberg, who's a good friend. I'm just going off your title by the Vice President of Sales at Baldor. Is that right? Is that your title?
Correct.
Okay. And John is a friend in the sense that we've worked together for a few years now, and I'm making a joke about a commercial that was for BlackBerry. How did that all come about? Because I loved it. I was watching it, and it's so true. You get about 400 text messages a day.
I get a lot of text messages, a lot of BBM. So I met a friend of a friend who came to Baldur actually 3 or so years ago.
Yeah.
And she was trying to pitch us on some red tea from Australia. And she kept in touch, and she would send some random emails. As a side note, she does screening for a production company.
Okay.
So I had left my family in Florida for vacation, came back up to New York, and I get a random email saying, we're doing a BlackBerry commercial. I'm like, hell, I'm married to my BlackBerry. I may as well.
You are.
Why not? For a goof, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I've never really spent time in front of a camera. So I show up to the audition, and I get in front of the camera for 5 minutes, talk about my BlackBerry and how I use it. And I walk out thinking that was a great experience, but thinking nothing would come up. A week later...
It's all over.
A week later, I find out that I'm the top pick for the agency, and they're flying me out to L.A. to shoot the commercial.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was a great experience.
That's all. You know, it's fun because, like, if you take all the idea of, like, oh, it's on TV and stuff like that, for someone who knows your schedule, I bet it was just fun to do something and not, like, just to be somewhere and not have to worry about actually looking at your phone for that day of shooting and knowing...
Because you don't think I was working while I was there?
Yeah, exactly. No, you know, for someone who deals with people who are all about themselves all the time, that are in restaurants, you know, chefs,
right.
Not necessarily self-absorbed, but people that have a lot of demands on their hands, it's about them all the time. So I guess
customer service all day.
I'm just saying it might have been nice that it was just about you for on the set.
It was a great experience. Number one, I got a free trip to the L.A. market, which I really hadn't spent much time in.
Okay.
So it was cool to check that
now,
out.
Now, is that the Santa Monica market? Is that the...
There's actually multiple markets
stuff,
there.
Like
this is the bigger one. It was only a small section of the market, but it was pretty cool. Met one of our suppliers out there because we buy in the L.A. market for the New York market here. And it was just a great experience and super fun. And it was...
How's your family?
Everyone's great.
Great.
I'll give a shout out to my son Ryan, who I think is listening right now.
He could actually, if he's
could, looking to
Ustream. If you text him Ustream.tv, he can actually watch here. also, there was a great fact in that commercial: you guys started out with 9 trucks or 6 trucks, or
I started with Baldur in 1993,
okay.
And Baldur actually started in 1991. And had originated in the Balducci store.
Yeah.
And chefs would walk in, love the produce, and Andrew Balducci would wholesale to them.
Now, Balducci's was a classic New York City market.
Balducci's was the famous Italian market, which is gourmet food. Back in the 70s, 80s, 60s, 70s, 80s, I mean, way back. So when I started in 93, we had 6 trucks on a busy Friday. That was a busy day for us. Now we're rolling upwards of 180 trucks.
If anyone, any restaurateurs or chefs are listening, and they have an account with Baldur or want to open an account with Baldur, I recommend calling and just going up to Hunts Point. First of all, the place is immaculate. Second of all, if you're somebody like me that gets off on production and efficiency, it's a great place to just go check out. On top of the fact that it's just a well-run organization. You guys are taking all the right next steps, I feel like, as a company, where it's not... I've never felt that you were trying to get too big. I've always felt really comfortable in your hands, and thank you for your time. Any plugs?
Baldur.com? Thanks for the plug. Yeah, www.baldurfood.com. Anytime anyone want to come up, we try to encourage customers to come up to the facility, because we're doing things in this business up here in the New England area that no one else is doing. Just when it comes to food safety and growing our line of quality product, we're so much more than produce now.
But also the cool part is, if any chefs that want to do, you guys do demos up there too. So, and there's a kitchen, there's a professional kitchen.
Correct. There. And we just started utilizing that and throwing some soirees at the kitchen. We just had a great pastry chef event where we showed all of our local fruit and our citrus and our chocolate lines, and we had some high-end chefs come up and show their stuff and essentially teach a few of their recipes.
Anyone buying any fruit in the New York State area probably passed through John Hansberg's hands, not literally like in the commercial, but in the figurative sense. John Hansberg, Vice President of Sales at Baldor. Thank you, John. Thank you for your time. I know it's the first day. I appreciate it, man. I'd love to have you in the studio.
Great to see you again.
John Hansberg, please, Bennett, could you give John the marker to sign the I'm going to auction this. I'm going to auction this off on Food Network after this. John Hansberg, good friend. There's going to be an exclusive here at the show. We're going to talk. Myself and Arian. Arian, we have to come clean to our listeners online and here on the radio. We're having a restaurant show affair.
We do. We have to stop meeting like this.
Whether it's San Francisco, long distance San Francisco, or locally here in New York.
That was like 1 month ago. I had to find a little space on the staircase, a little quiet somewhere in the food show, and talk to you on the phone.
That's why D'Artagnan has so much success as a restaurant buyer, as somebody who's been in the basements of Tribeca or in the first floors of Soho and procurement. There's a company that actually made me kind of a, you know, I've always been a Francophile, but made me really open up more to French culture, and that's D'Artagnan. I would say you guys dabble in a ton of different stuff. I'll bring up a few of them. Obviously, mushrooms, truffles, sausages, foie gras, everything. You know, of course, I'll mispronounce a few of those things. But talk to me a little bit about where D'Artagnan is now.
Basically, it's good proteins, mostly meat proteins, a little bit of mushroom and truffles, but good meat proteins. And so by French, we bring the French culture and the French philosophy of growing the animals the right way, so they will be as good as possible, the best on the plate. And that's it. That's French. That and my accent is the only thing that's French about our company.
Well, you become from a food dynasty, and if anyone is a food junkie like I am, there's a great old Charlie Rose interview. And I say old, I don't mean it in a derogatory way. I mean, it's a classic interview. It's yourself, Eric Repair, Danielle Blue, and Drew Nieporent.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the first times, if you were following food, that you would see yourself in the scene. But you guys talk about the idea of the French culture entering into a Jean-Louis Paladin.
While Jean-Louis was sick and dying of cancer, and Charlie Rose was really good at recognizing that Jean-Louis was instrumental in bringing that priority of raising the right way to have the good food on the plate, because before him there was not such priority
in
America.
Isn't it so weird now when you think about it, how you guys have pushed it forward to this point where someone like myself just thinks it's a given that I'm getting foie gras from Hudson Valley. Like, I just think that's, oh yeah, that's where it comes from. But it wasn't that way.
But it's great. It's great. It's great to be able to encourage farmers more and more local and more and more committed to doing it the right way with heritage breeds that take longer, without medication, without growth hormones, antibiotics. At the end of the day, it makes it better on the plate, and that's the main thing.
Your daughter was going to the Cornell Hotel School. How's she doing? Where is she working?
She graduated.
Is she third generation now?
She did a U-turn on me. She's now doing a master of architecture in San Francisco.
But you did the same thing when you finished. You went against your family. So I've done my research. You went against your family, and then now you are a modern day, Julia Child equivalent in terms of the polar opposite of what she did. I mean, you came to the U.S. as a French woman. And sort of reinvented the culture.
I'm just doing what I learned when I was a kid in my father's restaurant.
Yeah.
We are I'm the seventh generation in the food business.
So your daughter's number nine.
I didn't invent anything. I'm just following what I've learned is the right way to raise animals and to serve them.
Now, Drew Nieborn yelled at me for the mispronouncing your last name the last time. Is it Dagan?
Dagan.
Arian Dagan.
Yeah. Why?
No, because, you know, it's that relationship where you work for somebody and it's always that teacher-student kind of thing. He's like, Drew, remember when Arian Dagan? He's like, Dagan. I was like, no. He's like, stop hosing me. I know you're busy and this is the first day, so first of all I just wanted to thank you for doing an interview. I'd love to have you in the studio at Roberta's if we could follow up. I
whenever
know your schedule,
you
your itinerary is crazy
to, whenever you want,
and I'd seriously love to stay at the villa in France, the chalet, if we make it out there.
Yeah
That'd be great.
This summer, let's make a date.
Well, please.
I'm
on, everyone's here, we're online, there's about, you know, over 500,000 people watching right now. It's true. I'm actually gonna fly out and stay at the chalet, and I'll see you then. But thanks again, Arian Dagan from D'Artagnan Foods. D'Artagnan, can you please give us a plug on terms of a Twitter or?
Our website is www.dartagnan.com. D'Artagnan without the apostrophe, so that, you know, like the musketeer, DARTAGNAN.com. Like
anyone,
this.
Anyone looking, yeah.
And we have the blog, we have the Facebook, everything is on the website and plugged in there.
Just for me, I just want to say thank you. I have so much respect for you and what you've done for food.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
This is like my prime time. I guess the best thing to do, Mark, is to get close to the mic.
Right. Hey, Jace, how you doing?
Can you pick me up? Mark Tell, Sam Tell, Design Build Supply. I don't even have to look at this. You know, most people I have to do the bio. I'll describe briefly to our listeners the progression of the company. You can interrupt me at any moment. The Bowery, which was the quintessential area for restaurant supply for a long time.
Oh, God. Generations.
Sam Tell had an area there for a long time, and this was your...
It's my grandfather's business. My grandfather and my dad started it in 1956. Really, it was my father's business, but they were together. They were partners. I came to work there. My partner and I came to work there sometime in the early to mid-80s. My dad retired, and here we are, one of the oldest businesses in New York.
But I have to respect you. You guys made a conscious decision to realize that with the growth of the New York City restaurants, you guys were going to grow too.
Yeah.
And the idea of rents and all that stuff, and you can get into that argument, but you made a conscious decision to move to a different location, not for any other reason to pull out, but just to grow with the
sure.
businesses you were growing with.
Yeah, you know, the Bowery was really a peddler's market, for lack of a better word. There's and it still exists, even though it's clearly gentrifying. And we decided we just couldn't grow the way we needed to. Our clients insisted on better service, service that could only be provided with large warehouses, more space, places to park trucks. And so we moved first out to Brooklyn, then to Queens, then to a couple of years ago, we bought a 6-acre plot in Long Island, built a 3 million cubic foot building, and
here we are. Here
now
we are.
I'm sitting with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Anyone listening that doesn't understand what Sam Tell does, if obviously there's a whole other side we'll talk about later, but if future restaurateurs, anyone that's looking to make that jump, that has a good credit line, that has good credit, wants to open a place, you know, Jerry Cuveris is a name that comes up. These are gentlemen that are like the top in the world.
Well, thank you
about
very much.
Restaurant design. I mean, these are people that not necessarily just always deal with equipment. They deal with the tightest spaces in the world.
Well, certainly designing a restaurant kitchen in New York City is not like designing a restaurant kitchen outside of New York City.
Yeah.
Space is at a premium. There is traffic. There are parking issues. There are union issues. There are, we work with whom we consider the best chefs in the world, very demanding clients who insist on a certain level of design that is difficult to get into the types of spaces we need to work in. Jerry, as you mentioned, is our director of engineering.
Yeah.
He's a stud. He's a great guy. He's a pro. Dan Saltzman, our chief operating officer, one of the best smallwares guys out there. And thank you very much for the compliments. We we think we've got a great
it's,
team.
You know, everyone loves, you know, the hindsight 2020, but everyone loves to kind of talk about like, oh, well, this and this. And so, you know, it's a tough business you're in because you're dealing with a lot of money. You're dealing with the city in terms of permits.
Yes.
And rents and building times and, you know, big trucks. And also, I want to give you guys a compliment. Great install guys. Luigi.
thank you.
And Luigi and Mark, Polish Mark, as you guys call him. I think that's derogatory, but I don't know his last
Mark
name.
Mark
Marvis. These are great guys, and I've worked with all of them. You know, I don't use this stuff lightly, but being someone who's been part of six openings and dealt with different companies, I won't say who, I have to say, when Luigi shows up, I'm a pretty happy guy to install stuff.
Yeah, he's good. He's our client's best friend, and in fact, he becomes our best friend because he doesn't know he's a designer. Let's not tell him, but he really is because he'll get in there and he'll discover mistakes that we made, and he'll correct them on the spot, on the fly, and that's awesome. It's great to have, and as you say, design is a big part of our business. Designing into those spaces makes them usable, makes them workable, and that's our calling card. That's the thing that we think that we provide, and you mentioned other companies, and of course, there are plenty of people that do what we do. We feel we provide a value-added service that others don't,
and also. Anyone that deals with Samtel that opens the restaurant, there's a whole other side of the company that deals with paper goods.
Yes.
You know, the seafood towels of the world, your 133 glasses, Libby 133s of the world.
Yes, we're the largest distributor of supplies in New York as well. We've got great interior design people. We think we do a great job, whether it's furnishings or plates or glasses, silverware or paper supplies, and now we've even got a warewashing division. So let's not tell the big guys out there, but we're really trying to go provide one-stop shopping to our client base.
We're Facebook friends, and you have three beautiful children, I think.
Well,
I've seen before.
You
but
so
I want
much.
To bring up a story. I'm actually buttering you up before I bring up a story. Did you fly on an aircraft carrier or something? Can you talk about that story?
I did.
Or no?
Well, thank you. Sure.
This
can.
Is a great, this is like a leadership conference or
yeah,
something.
You, yeah,
you're
yeah.
flying on the F-22 Raptor.
F-18. F-18. Through a business group that I'm a member of, I had the opportunity to go out, well, honestly, to be flown on an airplane out to the middle of the Atlantic. I can't say where.
Yeah.
And we landed with an arrested landing, which is with the wire, and you literally get caught
the
on the wire.
Cable landing, yeah, there's three
cable,
of them.
And we hit the first one.
Good.
Our guy hit the first
all
one, and you stop, and we spent a day and a half on
the Nimitz, the Ronald Reagan, the
George H.W. Bush. It's the newest aircraft carrier.
Not gonna ride on my thing.
And it was awesome because the great thing about it is you get to see these wonderful young men and women who are working on these aircraft carriers and serving our country. And yes, you get to go up in an F-18 and you get a catapult takeoff and the arrested landing. And it was an awesome, awesome day and a half. And it gives you a new appreciation for what we do.
Well, Marktel, thank you. Samtel Companies. Colleen Holmes, director of the New York State Restaurant Association. WOW Restaurants Incorporated?
I'm a restaurant. I do, yes. Restaurateur.
That was an interesting question that had come up because Jesse Kiefer, the producer, asked, she has two restaurants. Is that how she kind of went into like the chicken before the egg kind of thing? Is that how you kind of went into it?
Into the Restaurant Association?
Yeah.
Well, I'm very passionate about hospitality and food service, our restaurants. I'm passionate about the New York State Restaurant Association, too. So that is how I became involved as a member first, and then on the board of directors, and now chairman this year, 2012.
I'm not a direct employee for Reed Exhibitions, but I will say thank you on behalf of New York City Restaurateurs for putting the show on.
Oh,
you're
welcome.
It takes a lot of work,
and
there's a lot of money involved, and there's a lot of, you know, different factions of New York, whether it's the city or upstate or, you know.
Very diverse.
And
don't forget Long Island and Niagara.
Here we go. We have some new cool headphones here. Let's
see, great. Red ones.
How are those working for you? Are those working?
They're working, yeah.
Oh, great. Wow, look at that. Yeah. Only 3 hours into the show. Wheatfields, that's the name of one of your restaurants?
Yes, well, Wheatfields Restaurant and Bar in Saratoga Springs, downtown Saratoga, and Wheatfields Bistro and Wine Bar in Clifton Park, New York.
and are you able to? This is almost like the senator like campaigning for presidency. No, because you're holding the position now.
As chairman,
chairman, and you're the first female.
I am the first
hold this
female.
Title, and this is an organization that's been around for 80s.
Almost 80 years, 76 years.
76 years. Restaurants, especially probably 76 years ago, were a male-dominated kind of like very.
Yes, it was. It was. I think I've been with the association for a while, and we have been working very hard over the last couple of years to really be diverse as far as the organization is concerned. Our members are very diverse, so the board of directors should be diverse as well.
It's probably one of the most diverse industries. I
mean, absolutely.
In the country, just in terms of the fact if you walk into a restaurant and there's a young woman from Portland, Oregon, and then your server's from somewhere else, and the gentleman working in the kitchen might be from another country on a program or studying and stuff like that. Talk to me about some programs that you guys do that are outside of that are the Restaurant Association does that involve restaurants directly that you're proud of.
Yeah, well, I'm proud of a lot of what the association does. We offer, we work for our members, so we represent our members in a variety of fashions, and we're a big resource for our members. So speaking as a member and as chairman, the Restaurant Association is there for me as a member so that I can call, because there's a variety of programs. I'm passionate, again, about hospitality and food service, so I want to stick to running my restaurant. And the Restaurant Association is outstanding because they're working for me, but they're not on my payroll.
Yeah.
So I can call them, and they already have somebody vetted for me, or they can, give me the skinny of the lowdown on insurance. This is what I need to know. I'm not in the insurance business, and nor do I want to be in the insurance business. So the Restaurant Association provides its members those sorts of programs. And then we also have a non-for-profit subsidiary, the Educational Foundation. So we work very diligently with kids. We have a curriculum in 62 counties, all 62 counties in the state of New York, for kids.
Breed talent and just kind of...
Right, to breed talent for the industry.
Myself, not everybody wants to just jump right into college. They want to go into a trade, and the service industry is a great trade with a tremendous amount of growth, especially in a great or a slow economy, if you will.
Right, it is. So it's an opportunity for kids to do that, to learn a trade, to go to a vocational school. And then we also offer continuing educational seminars for people who are already in the industry.
Okay.
So for managers, as a member, their management team can come and take a variety of courses through the Educational Foundation of the New York State Restaurant Association.
Now, I want you to wear your restaurant tour hat.
Okay.
because I watch a lot of these programs, myself included, and I'll hear somebody talk about the first phone call you make, and you're saying as for insurance. Now, you're a restaurateur, and I want to get in contact with you. What step do I take? Do I go online? Do I make a phone call? What's the best way to use the resource?
You mean...
Restaurant Association.
For the Restaurant Association? Yeah, you're a restaurateur.
I'm a restaurateur wanting to...
And you have a question about insurance or about a law that was passed or...
Exactly.
Something like that. You can pick up the phone and call the New York State Restaurant Association. We have offices in Albany and in the city. You can send an email. The staff's emails are all listed on our website. Go right to our website. It's nyrnewyorkstaterestaurantassociation.org. I didn't want to say that. Sorry.
It's fine. No, it's fine. I've messed up 25. so somebody else actually...
Are you editing the show? Can you delete that part out?
100%. For
okay,
you,
great.
We will.
Great. Yeah. That would be wonderful.
It's fine.
Thank you. I got the A-OK
from
the guy cutting
the
tape. delete the part when she sounds like an idiot.
How do I become a member?
You can go right. Well, if you're here right now, you can go to our booth.
You just sign in.
Yeah, you just sign in. $14.45 is our
and
booth.
And it's like a yearly fee or whatever.
Yes,
or
there's an annual fee for a membership.
Fine.
But quite honestly,
you'll waive that.
For you,
being chair. It was Colleen. No, it's cool. No, it's okay. No, it's
Colleen
okay.
Said.
It's okay. It's like, listen, I don't want to get her involved. We don't want to get Colleen involved.
My
here.
Staff hates it at the restaurant when somebody comes in. Well, Colleen said.
Oh, that's off. That's the
I
word.
Get the
Especially
text.
Especially in restaurant. Like, is Colleen working today? No, is she at the office? Or is she at the restaurant? No.
Do you know who I am? I'm her mother.
Yeah. I'm her mother. What do you want? I have tomatoes from the garden. Okay. But talk to me about the reason, the one thing when you were a kid that you fell in love with. Because you're definitely have that passion about what it. Is the one thing that, that resonates with you?
Food. I love food.
Is there a particular thing that you smell and it reminds you of? Like for me, I whenever I'm like I smell Chardonnay grapes, I think of my this is so pretentious. My aunt growing up, she had a little small little vineyard.
Oh, wow.
And I always think of white wine grapes and stuff, like, yeah, particularly Chardonnay. It kind of just resonates about food or yep. pesto. Any little things like that pop up?
I think because I am a foodie, yeah, I think there's everything. A million of them. Yeah, I could sell. You can open a package of Twinkies or something, yeah. and I could smell. But you know, things that my mom cooked that I loved.
Okay.
You know, my mom.
It's my mom right there. So yeah, my mom.
Oh,
actually,
so. You know, the dishes that my mom cooked that I loved, or I love the smell of a fresh-cut lime. You know,
okay.
That will bring back memories.
Did you grow up in St. Bart's?
No, I wish, though. So maybe I wanted to. I wanted to not be around any snow, but always. I'm very passionate about food, so yeah. You know, the smells of food elicit a tremendous amount of memories. And my grandmother was Lebanese, so
okay.
she used to make grape leaves and baba ganoush.
Baba ganoush, grape leaves,
and
yeah.
hummus.
Shawarma.
Kibbeh,
yeah, okay.
if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You
there's
know
some, well, there's some great wine coming out of that
area. That,
yeah,
that region,
some of the great
yeah.
wineries coming out. Maybe we'll have Lebanon row, you know, eventually.
And then on my mom's side of the family, so my dad's Irish and Lebanese, and my mom's side of the family is Russian and Czechoslovakian. So there's, you know, other
No, but there's a big Lebanese population in upstate New York. I don't know if that's where you particularly grew up.
It's not, but yes, there is.
Your itinerary is crazy the next few days.
It is.
So
yeah,
I'm
but
gonna.
It's fun.
Do you
have any hard questions for me?
No, I don't want to give you. You know,
other than
I wanted
the
to give
website.
You, no, I wanted to. I didn't. Is there anything you wanted to talk about? I just wanted to give you a forum because I appreciate the venue and being
well,
here
thank
and
you
just
very
promoting.
Much.
So is
thank
there anything you wanted to talk about particularly?
Well, you know, the restaurant show is a fabulous place to learn, to experience, to taste. You know, it's very diverse. We were talking about the diversity in the hospitality industry in general, and from the Japanese pavilion, the New York Wine Pavilion.
Yeah, we had them on. Yeah.
Oh, great, yeah. great. The beers, you know, the Pride of New York beers. There's so much here at the show that it doesn't matter what type of restaurateur that you are or in the business, you know, come to the show.
I say that I was making the joke that 99%ers to the 1%, the 1% of the fine dining establishment compared to the actual reality of restaurants,
right, right.
which is the 99% of people
exactly.
that get up every morning. It's their living. It's not about getting up and reading the New York Times or going on Eater.com. It's reality. It's like this is their job and they love it. But we all work hard.
Yeah.
Clayne Holmes, thank you.
Thank you very much. Jason.
I appreciate your time. I hope to follow up with you in the next few weeks. Maybe get a
sure.
call in on the regular show.
Oh, I would love it.
I'd love to get your signature here on our back wall. Which
can
will
mine
be
larger than I'm kidding?
Yeah, you should. I've spoken like a true politician. yes, please. And you guys, you guys lobby in Albany and stuff like that
we
for
do.
Us?
Yeah,
so this is not just a, like, your guys are behind us. So if you're paying, it's actually helping. You know, restaurateurs that make tons of money here in New York City can just put up a little bit of money and, you know, donate or whatever the case may be.
Exactly.
To get, you know, our lobbying wing, you know?
Right, absolutely.
Not just big energy or big oil anymore. Big restaurant touring. Big restaurant touring. Thank you, Colleen. I'll
Thank
see you
Jason,
soon. Cheers.
Appreciate it. Cheers.
Back here, the morning after. You know, one of the great things about actually working in a business that you do a program about is you can relate to your guests. One of those guests here is Matthew Halper. iHalper Paper Supplies is a third-generation company.
It's actually fourth, Jason.
Fourth generation company, and I'll have Matthew talk about it a little bit more in a second. But I've worked with iHalper and Sons. For about five or 6 years, and it's if anyone works within a family company and just gets that whole vibe of just good energy on top of efficiency and, you know, good pricing and all the obviously business stuff, Matthew Halper is somebody you need to speak to. Matthew, can you talk a little bit about iHalper?
Yes, I sure can, and thank you. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thanks, man. I know this
it
is,
really
a this
a
is your first. This is the first year Halper's here. It's a big, isn't this?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. This is the first year that we are having our own booth here at the Javits Center, and I got to tell you, it has been absolutely fantastic.
Well, congratulations.
It's been a lot of fun. Spending the day here, I've run into a lot of old friends, a lot of old colleagues. I've also met a lot of potential new clients and some new contacts, which, you know, of course, is always very productive. But I do appreciate you having me on the show, and those were some kind words in regards to my company. I'm very proud to be a fourth generation business owner. There's not a lot of us left. My great-grandfather started the company back in 1910 in Newark. And
tell the story about the twine.
Well, okay, yeah, that's kind of cool. My grandfather, he was one of 10. There were 8 boys and 2 girls. And when he was in grade school, him and his brothers, they would come to the shop in Newark before school. I don't know about you, but I couldn't even get up from school when I was a kid. These guys were getting up at 4 or 5 a.m.
I was watching the Jetsons, the reruns.
Exactly. I was oversleeping. My mom was like, you know, driving me to school because I missed the bus. These old-timers were actually up and on the streets of Newark going from peddler to peddler. Push carts is actually what they were. There'd be one vendor selling just apples. Next to him would be somebody selling just oranges and so on and so on. And my grandfather and his brothers, they had, similar to, I guess, a young boy having a paper route, they would go up and down the streets and sell 2, 3, 4 bags at a time to the various peddlers, and they would sell twine as well. The only way they could measure the twine is by arm length, so they would count it out, 1, 2, 3, and then with a scissor, cut it and say, okay, here's 3 arm lengths, that'll be 3 pennies. And that's pretty much what they did and how the business started.
But when you say you're one of the few left, I think there's a reason for that. And just from my end on the business side, dealing with you and purchasing from you, you guys have definitely made some conscious decisions over the past couple of years to grow. And not in the sort of offensive way, but in the big way of alienating everybody. It's almost like restaurants in New York City have grown, restaurant groups have grown. And a lot of companies will just try to, you know, stop growth on the purveyor side. Will stop growth just to maximize profits rather than reinvest in facilities and stuff. And I think one of the great things why you're still around is you guys took the opportunity to invest in that facility that's in Jersey, to invest in being in the show, to invest in just the idea of being, you know, social media and little by little. It's a laissez-faire business no matter what it is. But, you know, talk to me. Was that a conscious decision?
That's very, very observant, very astute. We certainly have taken some steps to put together a corporate strategy to really solidify ourselves in the industry for the next generation at least, and perhaps beyond that. You know, we're very fortunate to have partnered up with a lot of owners, operators, restaurateurs, chefs, people in the hotel business, people in the catering industry. We've been real fortunate to partner up with them and grow with them over the years, whereas these operators and entrepreneurs are opening up second, third, fourth, fifth, even beyond, you know, we grow with them. Moving to Bayonne, New Jersey was a big step for us. It allowed us to be much closer to New York City, where a significant percentage of our client base is, and it also gave us the ability to have a brand new state-of-the-art warehouse and office to attract a better workforce and to really put ourselves in line with being able to service the demands of all of our clients.
Yeah, I think anyone who's listening that's in the restaurant owner or restaurateur or future kids in school that are tuning in, I think one of the big things when you deal with a company are the company as a whole. It's not just a one-sum game. And one of the things I really commend about Hopper are just like drivers. These guys have probably been working for your family for a while. Just great guys. And the thing is, these guys aren't, like a lot of people that you deal with aren't in a great mood just because they're just happy guys. They're treated really well. And that sort of transcends, you know, yourself and your brothers and your family's, you know, approach to, you know, the way you treat your workers. You know, a lot of times in restaurants, you know, there's a lot of money and there's time and there's traffic and there's this. And you don't take that extra time.
It's true. But
I really get the, I have the impression that... that it transcends the philosophy, the family-owned thing, kind of, and they take pride
really,
in their
it
job.
It really does. You know, you really nailed it. There is a recipe. It involves a certain chemistry that starts with the ownership and trickles down to the management and the administration, and goes all the way down to our warehouse employees, our drivers, the customer service representatives, purchasing, receivables, you name it. Everybody sort of has adopted the same type of philosophy. You know, it's a pretty simple formula. You know, we really do try to treat people as individuals, whether they're working for a big corporation or a smaller type of business. Everybody gets treated a certain way, and we constantly reinforce that with our staff. You know, we want to be considered the nice guy on the block. While there's competitors that we have that are certainly maybe bigger or have more employees or do more in sales annually, you just really can't beat the way that we approach our customers, and we have that same philosophy internally. We take pride in treating all of our vendors, all of our suppliers, and like you said, all of our employees
really well.
One
of the things that the you know, things tend to, trends tend to like peak and then they stream off a little bit. One of the things that wasn't necessarily a trend, it's actually it's a conservative effort to be socially aware of green products. You guys, you know, eco-friendly cups and stuff. Tell us where you're at in terms of that. It's not something you can do overnight. It's another thing. It takes time to get products that people like. Functionality is still a part of, as eco-friendly as you want to be, there still needs to be functionality, or you're just wasting everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We've dedicated a lot of time and effort working very closely with the manufacturers and suppliers who are coming to market with the most eco-friendly, compostable, biodegradable, and recyclable products. We just know, being New Yorkers, that's a significant part of what restaurateurs and operators want to have. They want to be able to tell their clients, their families in their neighborhood that come to their restaurants or stay at their hotels, that they're putting forth the best effort to be as conscientious about the products that they're putting out there. Being the owner of the company, there's a nice advantage I have where I am in direct contact with the higher-ups at the companies that we do business with. So as new products roll out and as their efforts to maintain the green movement, basically I'm at the front of the lines. And it's a good place to be because I can not only receive all the information before it gets out there to the public, I could then be the one to initiate and introduce all that information and those new products and put it out there. Exactly.
And you're a new dad.
I am a new
Congratulations.
Dad.
Congratulations.
I am. Thank you. My wife, Erin, and I have a six-month-old son named Lewis. We're absolutely over the moon. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I don't know,
we're loving every minute of it.
Vacations you have on, you know, on the horizon, but I know you're a big cruise guy. All this cruise
That's
stuff
true.
Going on.
That's true.
Are you still a cruise guy or whatever? I don't want to take away from it. You might have Caribbean Cruises might be one of your accounts. But I'm saying
that's an interesting point you raise. No. My wife's mother is actually next door at the other part of the Javits Center.
Travel.
That's right. She is a travel agent specializing in cruises.
Okay.
So we're certainly loyal to her. And no, by no means are we discouraged by what happened a couple of months ago. In fact, I have a cruise planned in January for my 40th birthday.
This 40?
I'm turning 40, and you know, my dad, my brother, and sister are all our families. We're all going on a Caribbean cruise, so it should be good.
Matthew Halper, iHarper Paper Supply, a friend. I want to thank you for just taking the time. I know this is a busy day for you, so thank you for joining us here in the morning.
No, it's my pleasure.
Please,
Jason.
Please sign the
I'd be honored
board
to.
Here.
I'd be honored
to. We'll be auctioning off on eBay all the proceeds to go to the New York State Restaurant Association. With a 10% finder's fee.
Thank you for having me, Jason.
Thanks, Matthew.
I really appreciate it.
I'll follow up with you after this week. We'll talk.
Sounds good.
Thanks, man.
My pleasure.
Hi, I'm Jason Colucci. This is The Morning After. We were broadcasting live from the restaurant show. Thank you, Reed. Exhibitions. Thank you, everybody, for your time. We'll go to the guests later on. You'll see us on Twitter, The T-H-E, Jason, J-A-S-O-N, Colucci, C-O-L-U-C-C-I. Follow me on Facebook, The Morning After. Thanks again.
Thank you.